Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast with Brother Eben. This podcast discusses issues regarding the end times and the things unfolding and things about to unfold. We are living in very uncertain times and information is very critical these days. You can download or listen to this podcast on spiritissues.info. Now, let's join today's edition.
These are the end of days, what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. And the whole world shake, the big earthquake when he returns. Could be a nuclear war, what the prophet saw, till you wonder where your help come from. Look up, your redemption draw near. Come the man of peace, come the mark of the beast, the tribulation. Don't you be surprised when the Antichrist give a deception. And you see nation rise against nation, abomination of the desolation. Look up, your redemption draw near. Where he draws near, he will wipe away your tears. When he draws near, he'll give you faith, kick all your fears. Look up, your redemption draws near.
Welcome to End Time Chronicles podcast. This is Eben. In the previous edition, I read from Revelation 13 from verse 1 to verse 8. So, where we talked about the coming of the Antichrist onto the scene, the world worships him except the believers, and he seeks to demand it. The Christians will say no, then that will be the hill. Problem for the believers, then he will go after them. He will make war with the saints. And he has power over all kindreds, all tongues, all nations. So it's a worldwide activity that we are looking at. We talked about the fact that this whole coming of the Antichrist and the dragon giving him power is all about worship and power and control. And that is what makes the problem for the believers who would refuse to recognize him and worship him. So we continue from verse 9, where it says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. So he just talks about the believers in verse 8. He talks about the fact that those whose names are not in the book of life would worship the Antichrist. So the next one says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. So clearly it's a caution to us, who's by the grace of God have names in the book of life, to ensure that at that point in time, if we are still on this earth, we are still alive on this earth, we maintain our names in the book of life so that we do not worship him. Now let's go to verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Captivity, Christians will be put in jail, imprisoned, tortured in concentration camps. Christians will be killed with a sword. and whichever means persecution. This is, you see, it's all after he's going, because verse 7, he's going to make war with the saints because we have refused to worship him. Because the whole world is worshiping him, but because we say no, we will not worship him, now they will come after us worldwide. So this is what verse 10 is talking about. But here is the patience and the faith of the saints. We must endure to the end. We need the patience and the faith to finish the race. Verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The first question to ask is, why is there the need for another beast? If the first beast has come, the Antichrist has come, and everything is working fine for him, would there be the need for a second beast? No. The second beast is coming because the first beast is not having things easy with the believers who are refusing to worship him. And Satan is furious. He is demanding total worship as a way of confronting God, that your creation is all, they are all worshiping me. And yet he is not able to get all the world to worship him. So, what then do we do? Because now the whole problem of the world then will be the believers, the Christians, whose names are in the book of life. They are the only ones refusing. All other religions are worshiping him. Atheists, everyone else is worshiping him. Except the believers who will be seen as the problem and the troublemakers. So, okay, if these people are refusing, then let's get one of their own to now come onto the scene. You see, so this second beast is coming purposely for the believers. He is coming purely for the believers. His mandate and role is purposely to come and deceive the believers and empower the authority of the first beast. Assuming all things work well, there will be no need for the second beast. But because the plan of total worship has not gone well, because the believers have refused, then they have to be deceived. How do you deceive believers? Because so far they failed. You are killing them, they are putting them in prison, they are still saying no, they will not worship him. Okay, let's bring one of their own. They would respect him then. And this is where the false prophet comes in. The second beast is the false prophet. So he is a religious leader. And so I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He's coming to pretend as a peaceful person, a lamb, humble. And he speak as a dragon. So imagine a lamb, and then but when he opens the mouth, wild things, demonic, evil. So this is where the whole problem is. He is coming to pretend to be a sheep, a lamb, humble. Because we are the sheep of the Lord. Coming to be like us, pretending to be like us. But when he opens his mouth, fire on the mountain, a lion. And goes on to say that, you see, his purpose is just to consolidate the rulership of the first one, the first beast. Because Christians, we've not recognized him. And we are also not worshipping the first one. So his assignment is just to deceive us so that we accept the first one. So he's coming to deceive us that let's accept the beast and let's worship him. He is coming humbly, calm and gentle, but he is evil in power. Now, verse 12. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. So that means he is as demonic, he is satanic, he is fully endowed with the dragon's power, just like the first one. The Antichrist, the political leader. Now, this one comes, a religious leader, but has the same power. So Satan has also empowered him, just like the first. Now, so he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So when he has come onto the scene, he himself is not coming to demand worship for himself. He is coming to point to the first one. Worship him. Worship the first one. That's his assignment. So, you see, He is a religious leader because he needs the believers to also worship the Antichrist and Satan and the dragon, or the dragon and the Antichrist. So now his mandate, he himself is not demanding worship, but he's coming to point that worship the first one. So that's his whole mandate. He's coming purposely for the believers to come and deceive us, and of course encourage the world to continue to do what they've been doing already. You see, so clearly we are going to see this is the false prophet, powerful like the Antichrist, and he's going to enforce worship of the Antichrist. He will point to the world to the beast and recommend his worship. Because the beast is already being worshipped in Revelation 13 verse 4. Because it says, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. So the worship is already going on by the world. But some people are not worshipping those whose names are in the book of life. And verse 13 and 8 again, he also says that, and chapter 13 verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life. So the issue of worship from the rest of the world is not in contention. They are not resisting it. So some people have resisted, and that is why he has to come and convince them. So this fresh recommendation to the world to worship the beast is a call on all Christians to join the worship. And that's exactly what's going to happen then. So the power and exercising of his authority and all is just to come to the believers, to deceive us. Now let's get to verse 13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This one, CNN, Al Jazeera, every nation's network, social media, Facebook Live, every live network will be broadcasting it, calling fire from heaven. You can imagine the way the world is going to celebrate this, that trending news all over the place. But ask yourself, why fire? Why not rain? Why fire? Why not rain? Why not thunder? Why not lightning? But fire. You know, the word of God is so interesting because, see, he would cause fire to come down from heaven like Elijah. Because we also have verses in Malachi that says that Elijah will come before Christ comes. You see, so this whole perception and expectation and understanding of believers about Elijah in the Bible, because we also know of the two witnesses, some believe, that the one will be Elijah, and all that. You see, so this Elijah thing is already in the mindset of believers. So if someone comes onto the scene and he's calling fire from heaven, because Elijah called fire from heaven to come and consume the sacrifice of the worshippers of Baal. So clearly, if someone comes onto the scene as a religious leader and is able to call fire from heaven, some believers may be deceived because, hey, Elijah has come. He has been able to call fire. Hey, it was in the Bible, oh, he has come. Some will be deceived. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. They shall deceive the very elect. You see, so, and this Matthew 24, this is before the coming of Christ. If you read Matthew 24 well, this is before the coming of Christ. This is before the rapture. You see, so, this massive deception, great signs, you see, so that's exactly what Revelation 13 is saying. He doeth great wonders. So that's the same thing Jesus said. So that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. This one is going to be so great and trending that It's like, you believers, we told you that this man is of God. Why are you still resisting? You are too known. This one, your Bible even says that Elijah called fire from heaven. Elijah will come, and now he has come. Why are you still refusing to accept him? The weak believers who may perhaps by then be able to stand, eventually some may fall if care is not taken. You see, his assignment is to come and deceive. So he is coming to deceive with any means and any strategy available. Now, verse 14. And he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles. You know, the whole purpose is to come and deceive. And he will be deceiving, and he will be able to deceive as many as will allow themselves to be deceived. Especially, you see, that's why that it's very painful and unfortunate that the church has neglected the teaching of the book of Revelation with the pretext that the church will not see these things. But here is the case that gradually it's beginning to show. We are going to see it. It's obvious. We are in the times where everything is beginning to point to that fact that we are not far from the season. And yet the church is silent about these books, or like this book of the Bible, where the church should know what is there. Because if you know these things I'm talking about, when you see it, you know that, hey, this is it. But assuming you've been in the church for all these years, you've never been taught these things, and then we get to the scene and this thing begins to unfold, you will be deceived because you don't know that this, I mean, we have believers who have never read the book of Revelation themselves, never bothered to study themselves, never bothered to, you know, with the type of Christianity where people are just not interested in knowing the Bible for themselves is the reason why people will get this, I mean, fall for the deception. So he deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of these miracles, or those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. This thing will not happen in secret. It will be a show, open show. The Antichrist is there. He is in front of him and he calls this fire from heaven. Cameras rolling. Action. Everybody sees it. So these are personalities and sequence of events that would happen. You see, all these things will happen. Up to this point, the mark of the beast hasn't come. Let me chip in that the mark of the beast has not come up till this point. There has been no mark because it's all about the world is worshiping him, except the believers who are refusing to worship him. And then let's get a means to deceive them to also come and worship and join the worship, worldwide worship. We bring the false prophet. Still, this people will not be deceived. Whilst everyone is so fully deceived and worshiping, there is still resistance in the camp of the believers. Whether they are in prison or they are still being killed, whatever, they are still refusing. And then, so he says that he does these miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So this is where now the Antichrist's spiritual advisor, the false prophet, now instructs that the image of the beast should be made. And let me chip this in. A lot of scientific work is going on, AI projects, where if you see some of the things they are doing, humans, AI, artificial intelligence things, robotics that have human bodies and everything, where eventually, you see, they are going to, one article was on BBC last week, where it talks of this issue as well, where, I mean, humans, robotics, and all, these things are coming up. The technologies, they've been working behind the scenes on these things. So, by the time when we get here, it's not something that is a new thing. They've been AI, is advancing at a very fast rate. So he says that saying to them that they should make an image. So already the scientists would have made the image. Because mind you, the Antichrist is not coming for just one day. He's going to be around for 3.5 years. And we don't know exactly at which point the false prophet comes into the scene. But at least at a point in time. By the time he comes, already the world is in love with him and all. Satan has empowered him. By all means, Satan also would have empowered some scientists to already work on his image through AI, doing his image and all. So the process of his image being worked on will be happening. It's not some technology is there, so it's not something that is a long process. It can happen within a day. They can set up these images or this image, a big one, within the day. You see, and because of technology, seeing these things is not something that is going to be difficult. Oh yeah, live telecasts. It's all over the place. Facebook Live, Instagram, all these live events can be seen worldwide. So they should make an image to the beast which had the wound and did live. So he deceives the world through the fire, and then he performs this miracle in the presence of the Antichrist. He will cause the image of the Antichrist to be created. See, these are all activities that would happen. Sequence. Revelation 13 gives a timeline of events, the sequence of events, the personalities that would come onto the scene, at what point in time they come onto the scene, and the things that they would be doing. It's all listed in Revelation 13. We've been reading as we are reading. Now, let's continue to verse 15. We are getting to the interesting parts. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. This AI is what I'm talking about. That for a human robotic, human face, robotic, whatever that they create that can talk, the technology exists today. The technology exists even today. So he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. You see, and some of these things, let's understand the perspective or the angle from which John was seeing these visions. John imagined almost 2,000 years ago seeing a human AI robotic, whatever, standing in front of, the false prophet and the Antichrist, and it's being able to talk by itself. This is the best way John can write it. John had no idea. John cannot explain AI. He cannot explain scientific advancements. John was limited in how best he could write what he was saying. So the best way John can write it is what he described for us. But now, fast forward to our time, we are beginning to see the possibilities that exist scientifically regarding these things he talked about. So, he had power to give life unto the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. You see, the whole thing is about worship. It's all about worship. Worship, worship, worship. He starts with worshiping the dragon. They were worshiping the dragon. They worship the Antichrist, the beast. Now, the false prophet comes. He also points, worship the beast. And still, some have refused to worship. So what do you do? Okay, let's create the image of the beast. Now, those who refuse to, you see, and with this image of the beast, eventually, I believe, will then be replicated. It will be replicated all over, idols all over the place. So imagine now this then comes, the image of the beast is created. If you don't worship, now we kill you. Now, so a strict order is now given. Worship the beast, or worship the image, or we kill you. And this order is given none other than the second beast, the false prophet. Mind you, his purpose and mandate is purposely to the believers, those who have refused to worship. And by the way, those who have refused to worship are only those whose names are in the book of life. So it's only Christians, right standing Christians, who have refused to worship. So now this instruction that if you know, mind you, people have worshipped already. The world is already worshipping. So this instruction is purely for the believers. this mandate that if you do not worship, you should be killed. It is only the believers, the Christians, who are going to be killed then, because they are the only ones who have, up to this point, not worshipped. You see? So, this empowering of the image of the beast, now he causes the image to speak. But now we know. I mean, if you've seen Sophia, the robots that human robot that was given Saudi citizenship 3 years or so ago, I mean, she speaks, grants interviews and all. Other advanced ones have been made. And see, some of these, a lot of these projects, there are some that are not even public. So there are many things they are doing that we don't even know of. See? So now, the believers who refuse to worship will be killed. And this is the main persecution. This is the main persecution for the believers. This is the main thing. So this is the real killing of the believers for refusing to worship the Antichrist, refusing to worship his image, okay, then to be killed. Now verse 16, and he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Let's understand and lay the foundational rule. This whole part we've been reading from the beginning till now, we see that this whole thing is about worship. Worship, worship, worship. Now it's been decreed that those who refuse to worship, of course the believers who have refused to worship up to this point, should be killed. How are you going to identify someone who has not worshipped or refusing to worship? How? Because if I'm walking on the streets, how do you know whether I worship or I don't worship? Because of course, I will not be worshiping if I'm walking on the streets. I will not be hitting my head on the streets, worshiping as a means of walking. No. So there should be a point in time where people will be worshiping, and you should be able to know those who have worshiped and those who have not worshiped. But on the surface, if you are all working in KJT market or whichever place, market, city, in a mall, you are all working, how do you identify the worshipper from the non-worshipper? Because we are all human beings. What will identify me from the one who is worshipping? There should be a means to be able to identify the worshippers from the non-worshippers. Because, mind you, the rule has been set that those who do not worship should be killed. So now, the next stage is, how do we identify all of them? Of course, those who have been arrested in prison already under their custody, so they are known. So, but there should be a manhunt to identify all the non-worshippers. Initially, it's like, people having worshipped. The Antichrist, the false prophet comes to try and convince everybody to worship. Still, people are not worshipping. Some are not worshipping. The believers are not worshipping. But now, the manhunt should be on to identify all, to kill them. Don't forget that, you see, the whole world is already worshipping. So those who are worshipping will have certain hatred against those who have refused to worship. So this order to kill those who are not worshipping is a worldwide order. Hunt them down. But how do you identify the non-worshippers? This is where the mark comes in. So you see, the essence of the mark is to identify the worshippers of the Antichrist and his image. See, when we get there, when the Holy Spirit gave me this insight some weeks ago, then I realized, if we don't get the purpose of the mark, the reason for the mark, then we'll get the whole thing wrong. Because the first question we should be asking is, why the mark? Why is there the need for a mark? And this is where the whole thing is, to identify those who have refused to worship the image and to worship the man himself and then the image. Because you should be able to identify them. Because on the surface, how do you identify the worshipper and the non-worshipper? There should be a means to know who has worshipped or who is a worshipper and who is refusing to worship. So this is why the issue of the mark gets introduced onto the scene. The next question is, who introduces us onto the scene? It is the false prophet. It is the false prophet who introduced, because he is now, his assignment is to the believers. So he is now calling the shots. I came, I did all the miracles, I have convinced you, you have still refused, okay, we'll kill you. How do we kill you and know those who have been worshipped? Let's introduce a system. Identify those who have refused to worship. This is his mandate, because he is the one executing this operation. You see, so we have to get it right, believers. The Bible is clear about the sequence and the timelines and the personalities and the events. Everything is there in the Bible. That's what we are reading and discussing. Okay, let me end this episode here. Continue in the next episode. I believe as the Lord is leading us, we are getting better understanding and clarity in these things. So, see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to this episode. This is Eben.